Good evening and welcome to the local news. Today is Thursday, June 27th. I'm Lauren Schmidt reporting for KMUD. In tonight's news, marijuana enforcement team visits Miranda. Garberville Vets Hall project to get full funding. And Beginnings celebrates 50 years of education and community. Stay tuned, news on those stories and more coming right up. A large presence of law enforcement vehicles was observed this Thursday afternoon on Highway 254 near the 5,000 block of Miranda in southern Humboldt. Lieutenant Conan Moore with the Marijuana Enforcement Team stated that his department was responding to complaints stemming from illegal cannabis cultivation.
So I'm Lieutenant Moore with the Humboldt County Sheriff's Office, and I'm in charge of our Marijuana Enforcement Team and the Humboldt County Drug Task Force. During the month of May and June, the Humboldt County Marijuana Enforcement Team and also Humboldt County Code Enforcement, we received a bunch of complaints regarding a property in the 5,000 block of Highway 254 Miranda. Marijuana enforcement team deputies, and speaking with the complainantees and viewing the property, were able to establish probable cause for a search warrant. June 27th, the MET team, Humboldt County Code Enforcement, and Department of Cannabis Control served that warrant on the property. The parcel did not possess the required county permits or state license to cultivate cannabis. During the service of the warrant, deputies seized and destroyed over 70.5 pounds of cannabis bud, 395.4 pounds of cannabis sake, and 77.9 pounds of keef. Additional violations, civil fines, are expected from code enforcement and DCC. The case, no arrests were made, and the case is being forwarded to the DA's office for review.
Along with the cannabis flower and keef was nearly 400 pounds of shake, which includes small buds, leaves, and trichomes, often what's left over after trimming or processing the flower. As a byproduct of cannabis, we asked if it carries the same fines and penalties as full buds.
Yeah, because it's all marijuana.
Despite legalization, Lieutenant Moore says the unit is expected to have a busy summer in the Emerald Triangle.
We'll be conducting overflights throughout the county on areas that we get the most complaints from, and we get quite a few every day, and so we look into those properties, and if we need to fly them, we will. This one being so close to the road, we were able just to drive by and get the information we needed that way. But yes, we'll be working with Fishing Game, Department of Cannabis Control, Code Enforcement, CAL FIRE if needed, if there's forestry issues.
KMA News will continue to share updates on cannabis enforcement activity. On Monday, July 1st, CAL FIRE is suspending outdoor residential burning in Humboldt and Del Norte counties. The suspension applies to residents living within the state responsibility area. The suspension is expected to be lifted later in the fall or early winter, depending on weather conditions and region-wide fire activity.
This is Battalion Chief Jeremy Ward with the CAL FIRE Humboldt Del Norte Unit Fire Prevention Bureau. So we are suspending burning in Humboldt and Del Norte counties beginning July 1st, 2024. That suspension will affect all the folks that are in state responsibility areas. So again, those folks who do need CAL FIRE burn permits to go do the residential outdoor burning, that will be suspended again Monday, July 1st.
June has seen an uptick in fires across the state. On social media, CAL FIRE posted that they have dropped nearly 2 million gallons of retardant and water in less than a week's time. So far in California, over 200,000 acres have burned since the beginning of the year. And CAL FIRE is currently responding to 7 active wildfires across the state. We asked Ward if local crews are still responding in mutual aid.
Yes and no. So some of those fires we have gained considerable control on, and we were able to get some resources back into the unit. I believe we've been able to release all the local government agencies that we brought in to help cover our stations. But now there's been some other activity in other parts of the state, and again, we've sent some equipment out. Right now, I believe we've mostly sent out some overhead personnel to help manage those incidents.
The Humboldt County Prescribed Burn Association, along with Bryceland and Shelterco Volunteer Fire, will be conducting a 10-acre prescribed fire in southeastern Humboldt Friday, June 28th. Camilo Stevenson with the HCPBA has more details.
Well, every prescribed burn has its reasons and its prescription, and this one in particular has to do with grass, invasive grass called barbed goat grass. So yeah, this is just the right time to get the grass to burn and help improve the conditions of the ranch there. Yeah, this is going to be located in the Fort Seward area. The access will be on Alder Point Road and Dyerville Loop. So if you're in the area of Blocksburg or Alder Point, you might see smoke come from there. Or if you're from Garberville, Redway, you might see some smoke on the hillside there to the east.
Multiple fire professionals will be on site, serving both safety and training purposes.
We have a lot of volunteer fire departments that are involved, and getting direct exposure to the flames and to controlling the fire is a big part of training. Take the opportunity to make sure our equipment's running correctly, and you know, having some new recruits that maybe learned all the techniques but haven't actually put it to use yet with a live fire. So it's really good opportunity for folks to practice and get that real experience.
Fire engines and participants in their vehicles may impact traffic along Alder Point and Dyerville Loop Road in the early morning and after completion of the burn, which is likely mid to early afternoon Friday. Smoke will be visible, but should not adversely affect local communities in the area.
Yeah, just refrain from dialing 911 if you see smoke in this general area. Obviously, we don't want people to not call emergency services if they see something they're really concerned about. But the smoke will cause some concerns from some people, and we just want to make sure that you know, no one's tying up the emergency lines because of the prescribed burn.
While firefighters and licensed prescribed fire technicians may be able to burn outside of the burn suspension, all residential burning ends July 1st. More information is also available online at fire.ca.gov. Garberville Veterans Hall was demolished last year after being closed for several, and Humboldt County will finally carry out a plan to rebuild the hall. KMUD's Daniel Mintz reports.
Given a choice between covering a cost overrun on the Garberville Veterans Hall rebuild or downscaling the project, a majority of Humboldt County's Board of Supervisors opted for full funding. Sometimes emotional public support for the project figured into the decision-making at the June 25th Board of Supervisors meeting. The former John Haynes Memorial Veterans Hall on Locust Street in Garberville was demolished last year due to a variety of structural and safety issues, including mold. The county's lack of maintenance has been a point of contention for years, but the new Vets Hall, which will include a large meeting room and kitchen, revives the space for community gatherings. A project budget of about $3 million was originally authorized, but after a design phase, the actual cost is estimated to be $3.5 million higher. Supervisor Mike Wilson said the county has already shown commitment to investing in the area, and he noted Southern Humboldt has existing buildings that are vacant.
We've put several million into the community of Garberville and Redway area with resources in terms of community buildings, not to the satisfaction or necessarily to the, you know, to how we would all want it to be. But we have communities, you know, in Oreck and Willow Creek and Orleans and other places that would all love to have another community space. I guess for me, I've also expressed several times also, it's like there's this trajectory of vacancies, commercial vacancies in this area. It's And I have a concern that if we're moving forward with building a new structure in an area where we're already seeing structures that aren't being used enough to sustain their life or in that community, that's also a concern. And also in a community that did a lot of work to put together a community center. The Mateel Community Center was funded by the community and put together, so there is that space.
County Administrative Officer Alicia Hayes said if borrowing is done to cover full project funding, there would be yearly payments of $380,000 over 30 years, bringing the total cost to $11.4 million. County Public Works staff recommended a scaled-down version of the project that would still need $2.8 million in additional funding. During a public comment period, local veterans described the project as essential for veterans and the community. Doug Battles, a former VFW post commander, said cost-cutting will undercut the new hall's value to the community.
Now we're being told we should have a smaller hall, we should have a less beautiful hall, and we should have one made out of materials that probably will not last half the time of what we have already asked for. Do it now. Don't kick this down the road. You know, I've been working on this project for over 5 years with three other veterans and the veterans of foreign wars. And you're talking about reaching out. It's been 8 years. Why didn't you reach out before?
Supervisors discussed various funding scenarios, including using some of the money allocated for a county jail expansion project that was scrapped for a familiar reason, higher than anticipated cost. Earlier in the discussion, Supervisor Steve Madrone said the county is, quote, falling off a fiscal cliff, and he called attention to an overall crisis of deferred building maintenance, saying, quote, we've got departments where tiles are falling out of the ceiling onto desks. But veterans have been without a space for 8 years, and SOHUM Supervisor Michelle Bushnell said restoring one is overdue.
They've been waiting a long time, and I know the money's very tight and that we're in a terrible crunch. But so if we kick this can down the road again, it's not going to be cheaper next year or the year after. And so I'm fearful that they'll never get their facility, and that's not okay. In my book, it shouldn't be okay in your books. And I hope that we can move forward with something today.
Later, Madrone reiterated his concerns about cost, and Supervisor Natalie Arroyo described the accusatory tone of some of the public comment as disheartening. But they also acknowledged the project's importance and joined in the majority vote to direct staff to proceed with the full funding option. Wilson voted against. The board also directed staff to prepare letters to state and federal legislators asking them to support grant funding for the project. In Eureka for KMUD News, this is Daniel Metz.
Beginnings celebrates 50 years of education and community. KMUD's Lisa Music reports.
This weekend, Beginnings in Briceland will hold a 50-year anniversary celebration. The educational and community service organization began in 1974 by back-to-land parents seeking alternative school choices for their children. We reached out to current staff as they prepare for this Saturday's festivities.
Hi, I am Julia Anderson. I am the executive director and have been here, well, I was a parent at Beginnings 30 years ago with my children, and fell in love then, and came back in 2009 and worked with Peter Rice, and he graduated in 2012. So I took over and here I am, still in love with the place.
And Jacqueline McClure, I am new to the team and community liaison and public relations. My oldest has graduated from Beginnings and is now going to South Fork, and our middle kid is currently enrolled in Beginnings.
Beginnings umbrellas two school programs and the community center located west of Redway.
We're basically three entities in one. Beginnings is, you know, our umbrella organization, and it's a community center and also a place of education with Children's House, which is our Montessori-inspired preschool program. serving children 2.5 through 5. And then we are also, our elementary school program is a part of Northern United Humboldt Charter School, known as Bryson Learning Center, but you know, us locals, we have a hard time switching some, and we call ourselves Skyfish. And that is a K-6 program. So we're 3-in-1, and it all just gels together. We intersect a lot. And it's a wonderful place. We sit on 85 acres west of Redway, about 5 miles, takes about 10 minutes to get here. It's just beautiful. We look at hills, we have trees, we have playgrounds, we have garden space, and we have this fabulous octagonal building called the Octagon, which houses many, many community events and celebrations and memorials, dinners, you name it. It's available for the community to rent out at great prices and a wonderful place to celebrate. So that's us in a nutshell.
Community members that sought solutions for their own children paved the way for the families and children long after their own children graduated the programs they created.
Well, it started basically with a group of people, local back to the landers, I guess we would say, that came up here in the 70s and looking for a place, you know, wanted to get out of the cities and wanted to have a place for their children to go to school. So the first Beginnings Inc. meeting was held in August of 1974. That is why we're having this 50-year celebration, because we're 50 now. And it started actually in Garberville, was at the Presbyterian Church. And then they hooked up with Bob McKee and found this fabulous land in Bryceland. And he worked with them as he did with so many in our community. And those group of Back to the Landers created this amazing building. I mean, it's been all over the place. We'll have lots of pictures on display of the beginning of how this all started. I mean, there was a tent in the meadow at one time for Children's House, and there was a trailer. It's morphed into these beautiful buildings we have now and get to house our children and our community in. We've created this beautiful place.
Though traditional education options exist, some parents still seek the alternative, hands-on learning that Children's House and Skyfish provide.
And we're lucky enough to have several options in our community now, which I'm grateful for. Peter Rice, who was one of the original founders, had spent some time in India and studied the Montessori method. And when he came back and they had little children, they just wanted an alternative, just something alternative. And then their kids got older, so then Skyfish developed. And we're basically a traditional school now, Skyfish. We follow all the same things that regular schools do, but we have small class sizes. We have a little more freedom and autonomy as to what we can teach and how we can teach it.
The food program is different. So we really have a focus on fresh and healthy food options. We offer all vegetarian meals for the kids. The curriculum, though it is the standard California curriculum, there is a lot of creativity and a lot of accessibility to experiential learning and to nature. Yeah. So the kids spend a lot of time outside and not just on the playground, but taking hikes, going for walks, really being in their bodies and being part of the environment around them. And we have a huge focus on the community. So the parents and alumni are super involved in the classroom and in the activities at the school. We have a lot of extracurricular activities.
Well, we also focus a lot on the social emotional, which we always have, which is, you know, quite the buzzword now in mainstream education, but we've been doing that a long time with I feelings and I statements. So we were a little bit ahead of the curve on that one, and we practice it still.
Children's House is Beginnings Montessori-orientated daycare center for children between the ages of 2.5 and 5.
The Montessori classroom really places an emphasis with hands-on learning and then developing real-world skills.
Yes.
So there's a lot of independence, and what the kids kind of naturally gravitate towards is encouraged for them as individuals, rather than just like a top-down, this is what we're learning and this is what you need to focus on.
So we follow the child.
Though Children's House began in 1973, Beginnings Incorporated was formed in 1974 as the organization and programs expanded. This Saturday, the community is invited to Beginnings for a celebration of 50 years of service to education and community.
I hope there's people from all 50 years will be here throughout the day. There'll be food. Moses is barbecuing. We've got different sides and salads. We'll have appetizers passed in the beginning. There'll be music, there'll be speakers, there'll be lots of love and joy, and we will have a big memorial table also because we've lost many members of our community and of the Beginnings community. So if people would like to bring pictures, they're welcome to it. It's just going to be a really fun day.
The past 50 years will be showcased in a photo display, including the humble beginnings of the Briceland Volunteer Fire Department.
There'll be lots of photo displays inside. Gentry Andrews is going to do a display of the beginning of the Briceland Fire Department, as well as the Octo. We've got lots of old pictures. It's just going to be a fun day. There's going to be a thing for kids to do, a big bouncy slide for kids, barbecue food, just everything a good party needs.
And we are welcoming the current Beginnings community, the past Beginnings yes. community, and all members yeah. of the Southern Humboldt area. So you don't have to necessarily be part of the history of Beginnings to attend. Everyone is welcome to come enjoy the grounds here, to meet the people, and to really share in the celebration of not only the history of Beginnings, but the future of Beginnings.
Yeah.
As the community celebrates the past, they look toward the future, evolving with the community's needs.
I hope it continues to be as successful as it has for the first 50 years. You know, it's a wonderful place of learning and education and sharing and community. I hope we just continue what we're doing. And, you know, we are always open to input. Got an idea? Let's talk about it.
And I would say in the spirit of where they started, which was just really focus on the community and the community built Beginnings to what it is today. I hope into the future that we can carry the community.
Yes, change with it.
We're available and here for people who want to do workshops and classes and start new businesses. And I think as the Southern Humboldt community changes as a whole, like we want to be available as a resource and also to bring new ideas and new creativity into being. So even though we are largely seen as a school and we would not be what we are without the school, we're also a community center, and we would just love for new members of the community to come and join us, and for people that have new ideas for the economy and for businesses and workshops to see us as a place that they can kind of plant their seeds to grow their ideas into the future.
The Beginnings 50th anniversary celebration is this Saturday, June 29th, at Beginnings, located at 5 Cemetery Road in Briceland, from 3 to 10 p.m. Reporting for KMUN News, I'm Lisa Music.
Tan Oak Park, a nonprofit event and retreat center in Leggett, located across from the famous hole-in-the-wall swim hole between Garberville and Laytonville, is hosting a comedy and burlesque fundraiser this Saturday to support their community initiatives. Since 1989, Tan Oak Park has provided support services to individuals impacted by AIDS, and in recent years has served as an affordable venue for many beloved nonprofits, including Bell Springs and Leggett Volunteer Fire Departments, Heart of the Redwoods Community Hospice, and various community radio stations.
My name is Jessica Romer, and I am the president of Board of Directors of Family and Friends United by AIDS, and do many things. We have owned Tan Oak Park for the last 25 years. We have operated up until now as a retreat center for other AIDS organizations and doing long-term housing, assisted housing, and a lot of respite care. And about 8 years ago, we decided, what are we going to do with the park? And we said, well, let's draw a line through here and take the campground, the amphitheater, the front cabins, and share those with all sorts of nonprofit groups in the area.
And this Saturday, there will be a celebration organized by community members to give back in support of Tan Oak Park.
Well, the fundraiser is coming up is Saturday night, and it will be between 8 and 12 o'clock. And aside from seeing the poster that I've seen, I really don't know what's going to happen.
The fundraiser, titled Self-Help, featuring Phony Robbins and his cabaret, is a hysterical spoof on influencers and celebrities like Andrew Tate and Dr. Phil. Among the comedy acts, drag queens, and burlesque dancers will be the self-help seminar. So we reached out to the guru himself, Phony Robbins.
I'm a very well-known, famous mogul, guru, vanguard, if you will, but I wasn't always this way. I came from humble beginnings, the youngest of eight sisters. I've done every job you can imagine. I've washed dishes. I've scrubbed toilets. I've returned shopping carts. I've waited tables. I've done it all. And I realized through doing that, hard work wasn't enough. I had to make a change in my life. And that's when I decided that I was going to be in control of my future. And that led me to the NASTY program, which is very adaptable to any life you're living. But basically, it's now achieving success through yourself because you're the only one who can solve your problem.
When asked if phony is actually baloney, he said,
I do appreciate your rhyme there, but you just sound like someone who needs to be enrolled in our program. I feel like I've not only described it, I've given you plenty of examples. I don't want to shun anyone from the group, but you have to be open to change, to be able to change. So I would encourage you to come to one of our sessions. We have one coming up very soon.
All jokes aside, organizer Michelle Deline, also known as Bubbles from earlier, invites everyone to attend this wacky fundraiser.
Well, the great thing about now achieving success through yourself or the NASTY program is that it is a fun-filled party and cabaret for us to enjoy. Nonprofit, as always, always a good time. Saturday, June 29th, beginning at 8 p.m., we're going into the night at Tan Oak Park. That's at Highway 101 between Laytonville and Leggett in a little kingdom we like to call Leggettville. This is a self-help seminar-themed show and dance party produced by Draft Punk and from earlier productions, so NASTY will always be applicable there.
Jessica Romer with Tan Oak Park appreciates the unique and quirky approach to Saturday's fundraiser.
Very different. For our community to get something that's quick and different and out of the ordinary is refreshing, and I really expect this to be a good event.
The event also celebrates the completion of the Leggett Valley Fire Water Tank Program, with the tanks now filled and ready for fire season. All funds from this show will help Tan Oak Park continue their community work.
What they will do is continue with the operations of the park. We are starting a firewood bank for the community, and so there's quite a bit that involves with getting the structure up so we have a weatherproof place and other equipment. And we have received a couple grants going that direction, and so that'll be a large part of where the next will go. And then also using it for workshops for education so the people that attend them don't really have to come up with money because in today's economy around here, there isn't much.
Saturday's event is sliding scale, where attendees will win prizes and directly participate in festivities.
If you want some more information, you can call our NASTY hotline. It's updated weekly, sometimes daily, with details about the event. That number is 707-272-1007, and feel free to leave a testimonial message. Best message wins a fantabulous prize from Phony Robbins himself. And so that number again, 707-272-1007. We're going to have lots of libations, including a non-alcoholic bar with hot toddy serving Kool-Aid. Snacks is a corporate sandwich plate now available, snacky, tasty yum yums. So join us, Saturday, June 29th. Beginning at 8 p.m. for our mixer. It's time to celebrate, too. We actually had the cause of filling the tank there for the Leggett Firewater Project. And thanks not only to everyone's generosity, but the excellent grant writing of the board at Tan Oak. They actually filled that tank, so there will be a reservoir there.
For more details, you can search Self-Help featuring Phony Robbins Cabaret and Draft Punk Networking Mixer on social media. That's all for tonight's broadcast. Thank you for listening. Thanks to our engineer, And thanks to our reporters, Lisa Music and Daniel Mintz. Reporting for KMUD, I'm Lauren Schmidt.